So you're Dr. Robert Keyes.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
And
Keyes Jr.
Jr. Okay, so you're the second.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I guess sort of tell us about growing up and what religious organizations you were part of growing up in Kansas or not, but just sort of your life growing up.
Yeah, I'm not very Kansas. I was born in New York City.
Okay.
And but grew up in Connecticut,
mm-hmm.
in southwestern Connecticut, in Darien.
Mm-hmm.
My father was an orthopedic surgeon there, and we were members of Baptist churches while we were there growing
okay.
up.
Okay. And how many siblings did you have?
Two sisters.
Two sisters?
Both younger than okay. myself.
And your parents, were they both Baptist before getting married?
No. My father comes from Jefferson County here in Kansas,
okay.
and he was a Reformed Presbyterian.
Okay.
And my mother was a German Lutheran.
Okay.
She grew up on Staten Island, New York.
Gotcha. So where did Baptist come from, do you know?
We actually did attend a Presbyterian church when we lived in Bridgeport for a while.
Okay.
And we started to go to one in Stamford, Connecticut when we moved to Darien. But it was, my father felt it was too liberal.
Okay.
And it didn't take the Bible very literally.
Okay.
And so we went across the street to a Baptist church. It was American Baptist, or Northern Baptist, however you want to define it. And there we found there was a very good pastor who really preached the Bible.
Okay. So then between your childhood and Baptist, like, did that lead into high school? And how long were you part of the Baptist community?
Well, yes. Yes, that went through high school. I went to college in Western Pennsylvania, Geneva
okay.
College.
Okay.
And that's Reformed Presbyterian. So, and while I was there, I attended Reformed Presbyterian churches. I didn't have a car most of the time, and the Reformed Presbyterian churches were right there. So,
gotcha.
And they for my purposes, they were fine.
Okay. So then you went to college there. So what brought you to Kansas then?
Medical school.
Medical school?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I lived in Kansas City. And while there, I attended a Reformed Presbyterian church.
Okay.
For 4 years.
4 years?
Well, 3 years. The first year of medical school was in Lawrence.
Okay.
And while there, I attended a Southern Baptist church.
Okay. So what differences did you find in the Reformed Presbyterian and the Baptist communities that you attended?
Well, there's a number of significant differences.
Yeah.
probably the biggest one most people would notice is that the Reformed Presbyterians only sing psalms a cappella.
Okay.
Whereas the Baptist churches, sing hymns with organs and guitars or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the biggest difference. As far as the preaching is concerned, you wouldn't notice near as much difference. Although the Baptist churches put definitely more emphasis on personal salvation. The Reformed Presbyterians believe in that, but they don't talk about it as much.
Gotcha. And so for a person in college or starting medical school like you were, what sort of programs did they have? Did they have any programs specifically for your age group?
Well, in college they did.
Mm-hmm.
The college had them, the programs. The local churches did not. The college had... we didn't have a campus crusade or intervarsity or anything like that at our college.
Okay.
The Reformed Presbyterian Church wanted to kind of control that. And, of course, those aren't Reformed Presbyterian in belief, campus crusade, intervarsity, and so forth. So any youth programs were organized and run by the college. Medical school, of course, at KU, there wasn't any of that. You were on your own there. Mm-hmm.
And what sort of, what age groups did you see attending these churches then?
Well, it was, I don't know. It was pretty normal spread. Gotcha. I didn't. There wasn't any extremes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I had 4 years of residency in Galveston, Texas, and there we were members of a Southern Baptist church.
Okay.
First Baptist in Galveston.
Gotcha. So you were in Galveston, Texas then, and were you married to Joyce by then?
Yes.
Okay.
Just before?
Okay.
4 days after I graduated from medical school, we got married.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Worked out very well.
So did you have your first kids down in Texas, or did you have them up here?
Yes, in Texas. Two of them.
Okay.
Born in Galveston, the two oldest children.
So what were the Southern Baptist Church like for a person, like for young families?
Oh, it was great.
It was great.
Yes, this was a good-sized church. Had a large active Sunday school program,
okay.
And yeah, there was plenty of stuff for the little kids.
Okay,
and now they were pretty little when they were there.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, preschoolers for sure.
Yeah. What did just a normal Sunday look like, schedule wise?
Well, it usually it was Sunday school at 9:30,
mm-hmm.
and then the church service around 11 o'clock.
Okay,
it might have been 10:30 or some 11. I kind of forget.
Gotcha.
Exactly how long it was, but it was pretty traditional standard church service. And the other churches I went to would have been the same way.
Okay,
and then after the residency, we moved to Ohio, where I was in the Air Force for 2 years.
Gotcha.
And there we were members of a regular Baptist church. And that was, of course, that wasn't as different as you would think.
Mm-hmm.
Regular Baptist churches are, I guess, a lot of people would say they're fairly conservative type Baptist churches. And but the pastor of this church was not the normal regular Baptist preacher. He was much more similar to a Southern Baptist preacher.
Okay.
And so we hardly noticed a difference in the way that things went there.
Okay.
I'm aware that many regular Baptist churches are very conservative and don't like to have much to do with other churches. At least that's my impression. Whereas this church wasn't that way.
Okay. What kind of programs, did they have any programs during the week, like Bible studies or anything else that you participated in?
They had prayer meetings.
Okay.
And, but that would be about it, I guess.
Okay.
I don't recall really anything else. While I was in Ohio, I was on the church board. So, of course, we had meetings in connection with that, but that would be it. Now, that church in Ohio was a small one.
Okay.
So the program was not near as great.
Gotcha.
As what we came from.
So then after Ohio, where'd you go from there?
Topeka.
Good, good. And did you come directly to Topeka Bible Church, or?
We visited a couple of churches before that.
Okay.
And one of them was a regular Baptist church.
Gotcha.
And it was, but it was the more traditional regular Baptist church. And it was very, very conservative. And, you know, how do you define that term? Well, that's tough to do for me.
Yeah.
but it was, and it was a smaller church. We probably went to another one or two, but I quite honestly don't remember what they would have been.
Okay.
Because we found TBC pretty quickly.
Okay.
And we became members just 2 months after we got into Topeka.
Wow. So what'd you find so attractive about Topeka Bible Church when compared
to
the other places?
Well, we felt the Bible teaching was very good.
Okay.
It really, believed the Bible was God's Word from cover to cover.
Yeah.
And made no bones about it. And also the pastor was a graduate of Dallas Seminary.
Yeah. Which, who was the pastor then?
Carl Wilbur.
Okay.
He was just a very good pastor.
Okay.
And yeah, so we've been with that ever since. We haven't, you know, left and then come back and so forth, but mm-hmm. we've stayed with it the whole time.
So what did Tupi Global Church look like back then?
It was much smaller.
It
is, although it was meeting in the present building.
Okay.
But I would say attendance was about 350 at the most.
Okay. What year? Around what time was this?
1968.
Okay. I guess. And how old were your kids by then? By this time?
Yeah. Well, they were getting ready to go to school.
Okay.
And so they went to Gage School.
So at this time, did they have programs for kids their age?
Oh, well, there was Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall if they were involved much with Wednesday night programs.
Okay.
They may have been, but that was primarily Sunday school.
Okay. And did they only have the one pastor at this time? How many pastors did they have?
Oh, yeah. Carl Wilbur, as I remember, was the only pastor.
Okay. So how did leadership change in the next few years at Tupi Bible Church? I mean, was he there for a long time?
No, he. In fact, he died about a year after we got to Topeka.
Okay.
He was not an elderly man, or he was not old. He was, I think, only mid-40s, 50, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was quite a bit of transition going on then with two different pastors before the present one.
Okay. And what were they like?
Well, what were they like?
Yeah.
Well, they were good men in that they preached the Bible, they believed it, cover to cover, and so forth. But they, of course, were very different personalities,
mm-hmm.
and I would say during their tenure, the church did not grow. It wasn't until the present pastor came that the church started to grow. Much more than it had in the past.
Okay, and what year did the present pastor come?
Well, he came. Pastor Jim Congdon came about 1976.
Okay,
he came first as an intern.
Okay,
under the senior pastor we had at that time, Tom Burbridge.
Okay,
and then Tom Burbridge then left. At the end of Jim's internship, and so the church was then looking for a permanent senior pastor, and it just so happened, of course, that Jim graduated from seminary about that time, and so we brought him.
Gotcha.
And what was it, about a year later that our youth pastor was hired?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It was about a year later.
About a year
yes,
later.
I remember that very well.
Mm-hmm.
That was... That the church had a youth pastor before that.
Yeah.
So he wasn't the first one. So,
mm-hmm.
It hadn't been going on just too long.
Gotcha. What was outreach like for the church back then? Do you remember like sort of how the church interacted with the public, with the community?
I don't recall any outreach programs. It's mm-hmm. just that the you know, everybody's welcome to come to the services, and as word got out with Pastor Jim about his ability to preach out of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
he's really a Bible teacher more than a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
This brought many people in just on its own.
Gotcha. So then what was,
I was saved in Stamford, Connecticut at their First Baptist Church there, with an evangelistic program that was put on. They brought in a preacher from New York City, William Ward Eyre was his name.
Okay.
And he came for a week of evangelistic meetings every evening, and I went forward at one of those when I was 12 years old. I don't recall that TBC has ever had a series of preachings like that. We've had missionary conferences in the past that in some ways would resemble that, although it wouldn't be quite the same either. Just offhand, I don't remember any specific evangelistic campaigns as such.
Okay. You mentioned that Jim was a huge part of the community's growth.
Yes.
How did you see the community grow over the next few years?
Well, you mean the church community?
Yeah.
Well, it was steady, but steady growth over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Always seemed like we could always handle the increased growth. It got to where we had two church services instead mm-hmm. of one. We'd had one service like many churches. And it's only when the group got larger. But it was a gradual increase. It wasn't real dramatic,
mm-hmm.
although we were impressed at how the people came.
Okay.
And then eventually you had to go to three services. Well, actually now we have four or five.
Yeah.
Quite with Xenos and the lower auditorium services.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a struggle at times to figure out where to put all the people.
Mm-hmm. And back to sort of membership, you mentioned that you became members like 2 months after you moved here.
Yes.
What was required for membership back then?
Well, I think the church constitution states that you should meet with the elder board.
Okay.
But I honestly don't remember doing that. I remember meeting with the pastor.
Yeah.
And him signing a membership card for us.
Okay.
Which I stuck in a souvenir book somewhere. I may have met with the elders, and Joyce was with me, of course, but I don't remember that. I just remember meeting with the pastor. In fact, he came to our home rather quickly after we moved here.
Gotcha.
He was really on top of things in that regard. You could do that when the church is smaller. Now, of course, for a pastor to meet all and new people that come in, it'd be totally impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, he wouldn't have a life if he had to do that. But that time you could do it.
I guess another question, how have the facilities changed over your time at the church?
Well, they have changed quite a bit, although we're still in the same building.
Mm-hmm.
But the auditorium has had to be enlarged.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. And then, the main auditorium was enlarged. And then, of course, now it has three services instead of one.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've instituted a Xenos service in the building across the street. The church built bought the Methodist home across the street several years ago. And there's the church is now using what used to be the chapel in the nursing home. But even that's been enlarged some to hold more people. And then in the last year, the fellowship hall is being used as an extension to the main service with a TV feed and so forth.
Okay. And then what sort of, for you and Joyce, what Sunday school programs have you been in through the years, been involved in?
Well, yeah, when we came, we joined the Adriel Sunday School class.
Okay.
And that was, at the time, the Young Marrieds class, which fit us perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't name it the Young Marrieds class like so many churches do because they knew they wouldn't always be the Young Marrieds, so they picked a name that they thought would not indicate age so much.
Gotcha.
And I think the word Adriel is found in the Old Testament and means means little flock or something like that.
Okay.
Paul Clemmer was the teacher at that time, and but it wasn't long after we came that Joyce started teaching Sunday school, 4th and 5th graders. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I taught the 6th grade boys for a number of years also. And so I didn't attend the Adriel class much during those years. Mm-hmm. And then after that, when I didn't teach them anymore, I attended several other classes, kind of moved around some. But finally, eventually settled back into the Adriel class. And because of teachers dropping out, I ended up as the teacher in there.
Okay. So how long have you been the teacher?
I've been the only teacher now for, 3 years maybe.
Okay.
But I was helped team teaching for several years before that. But the others dropped out, left me by myself. So I continued that.
So how you mentioned that, and when you started, it was the Young Marrieds class. How have you seen attendance for that one?
Well, it isn't the Young Marrieds class anymore. It's the oldest class.
Gotcha.
In the church, so to speak. Not that many Sunday school classes at TBC have a mixed age group, and ours does too. But it generally has the oldest people in the church in it.
Okay. What about for your kids? What was Sunday school like for them through the years that they've been in attendance there?
As far as I can tell, it was a pretty standard Sunday school program. Of course, Joyce being part of it would help. But our impression was they had quite a number of good teachers. And everything seemed to go quite well for our kids in the Sunday school. Again, I don't remember much about Wednesday night programs, I must admit.
Yeah.
I'm sure they may have been involved in some of that, but that I don't think those were as big as they are now. Those Wednesday night programs have gotten a lot bigger. And church is putting more effort into them than they used to. I think.
So they had elementary school classes, and then they had junior high, high school. Did they have anything for students after then, when your kids were in school then?
Well, yeah, they had up through high school.
Okay.
Right, but they all three of our kids went to Wheaton College. So of course, their association with the church kind of went down a lot.
Yeah,
they'd come home in the summertime. Quite honestly, I don't know which Sunday school they went to.
Understandable. And then you mentioned a while back, we were talking about staff and the different pastor hirings. You had the senior pastor, Jim, and then the youth pastor, Hank, was hired.
Yes.
Who's come after that you've seen?
Yeah, quite a few people.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I'm a little at a loss to name them offhand.
Yeah, that's
fine. You're getting my memory isn't all the greatest about the personnel changes, but certainly, of course, Hank is still with us. And there have been quite a few. I know. I remember when Sandy Balaka was hired for the Sunday school program.
And Nat's still there.
And Nat, yes, Nat was. Yes, he's been with the church. He was hired as the music director quite a few years ago, and he's still at TBC, although not as the musical director. Gotcha. But there have been a number of people. But overall, the staff has been at TBC for a long time, for the most part. There are some exceptions. But there haven't been really a whole lot of changes. I don't have the memory some people have when it comes to
that's fine
things like that.
Yeah.
No I was problem. on the I was on the church board there for a number of years. Well, like when Jim came, and so forth. But I gave it up, and also the Sunday school teaching I gave up too, because I had to work so much at the hospital. I had a call when I first came to Topeka. Call wasn't half bad.
Okay.
I could teach Sunday school.
Yeah.
And it'd be very unusual to get called out. But after I'd been in Topeka for, 5, 6 years, the call started to get a lot more significant than it had been, such that it really wasn't practical for me to teach, because I'd have to miss so many Sundays. And also for the board meetings, there were a lot of times I couldn't come because I was working. So I dropped out of that, too. Didn't come back to that till after I retired.
Yeah. Were there any? Did any significant groups of the church ever break away? Was there any fragmentation that happened over the years?
Huh.
For whatever reason.
They're not coming in. I thought they were going to come. Was there break-offs?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Well, yes, Southwest Topeka Bible Church was a voluntary break-off.
Okay.
And Pastor Chet Evans, he interned at TBC for a while, and then led a group out to South Topeka.
Gotcha.
There was, Fellowship Bible, too, really was formed by several elders at TBC. As far as I'm sure, of course, there are people probably all the time that are coming and going.
Yeah, yeah.
And some have formed other churches on their own. I know there's one now that meets at Care Paravel, school.
Gotcha.
At their theater.
Mm-hmm.
I think there have been other little groups also. But there has not been any church split that was involuntary in some way. And also it's been true over the years, particularly since Pastor Jim has been here, that the business meetings are very quiet. And there's, I don't recall any controversy at them.
Gotcha. Have there been any, of course we have the normal groups for Sunday schools for kids and different groups. Are there any community groups? Is there support for that from the church? Just for different special interest groups?
I think there are.
Yeah.
And when we have an annual Discovery Day, which often speaks to that, I personally haven't been involved in too many of those.
Gotcha.
Quite honestly. There was a Mac group for a while that Dr. David Robinson headed up.
Yeah.
But he of course was very busy and he couldn't keep it up. So there's various outreaches of that. Certainly the women's ministry has really been effective, far beyond anybody would have thought. But my involvement in those admittedly has been pretty limited.
Okay.
Now that I'm retired, I do Meals on Wheels once a week.
And that's
I know there have been some TBCers involved in the staffing of that over the years. And TBC officially invites people to work in that area.
You also mentioned that you mentioned the reasons that you came to TBC and that's why that attractive and why it was attractive in those cases. Are those same reasons the reasons that you stayed through the years?
Well, yes, definitely. It's my impression that many churches in Topeka have Bible teaching that's has some doubts about the authenticity of the Bible and so forth, and that would I wouldn't care for that at all. Bible teaching at TBC has remained very strong through the years. Now, there are other churches that do have good Bible teaching, but we've always preferred Pastor Jim's approach to it and his manner. I'm aware that not everybody agrees with me on that, but for Joyce and myself, he's a perfect fit.
That's good.
And the youth pastor is also. Well, you were asking about youth ministries at the church and so forth. Yeah, Pastor Hank Nelson and Nan were very involved in the youth ministry when our kids were at that age and went on bike trips and so forth. And that's those are the ones I remember, the bike trips. And the kids really got involved in that and really enjoyed it. And I think that helped a lot to keep our kids interested in the church.
Okay. Are there any interesting characters, interesting people that you can think of that you remember from your time at TBC that just really stand out? You mentioned you mentioned Jim and you mentioned Hank. Any other major people?
Well, I'm not sure what you're looking for there exactly. It's been interesting that Sam Brownback, Senator Sam Brownback, has been coming to TBC fairly regularly for several years now, and I've talked to him just casually a time or two, but he's certainly somebody I notice, when we came to Topeka Bible, there were still some of the original founders of the church that were part of the church and active in it, and it was interesting to meet them and get to know them some, see what kind of people it takes to start a new church.
Yeah, do you remember when the church was started?
I think their first meeting was in 1939 in somebody's home.
Wow.
So, and it was a pretty small group for a while. The founding pastor was, I'm told, I never met him, but I'm told he was a former Methodist preacher and decided that eternal security was something that was really true in the Bible, whereas many of his colleagues at the time didn't agree with that. But quite honestly, I never met him or heard him, so I don't know for sure. But he felt that, I believe at the time, that the Methodist Church was showing lots of signs of becoming quite liberal.
Okay.
And that the very increasingly critical of the Bible and not accepting parts of it as God's Word. And so that was another reason, certainly, that he separated from the Methodist Church and really, with a group of believers, started a new church, which was Topeka Bible.
And I guess I could have asked this much earlier, but it's a Bible church, and you're non-denominational. How does that function when compared to other denominations, being non-denominational, I guess?
It's funny. If from my point of view, it doesn't make much difference.
Okay.
There are some advantages, though. I know when you're part of a Southern Baptist church, at least many of them, not all of them are this way, but many of them just give to missions through the Lottie Moon offering and just support the the Southern Baptist Mission Board. And often just don't see missionaries very often come by because their missionaries don't have to do deputation. The convention, Southern Baptist Convention, supports them and quite well, in fact, which is the way it ought to be. But now, for a church like ours, that's that really wouldn't work very well. So we're much more involved with faith missions, and we get to see our missionaries a lot more than we would otherwise. And certainly, when we were members of a Southern Baptist church, I quite honestly don't remember meeting any missionaries. I know we're certainly aware that they supported them, but in fact, I took a mission trip around the world once and stayed at a Southern Baptist mission in Eastern Java for a couple of weeks, I guess it was, and it was a very well-run mission. It was a hospital. Mm-hmm. There were several doctors there, but they had a lot of other support personnel. And admittedly, they sort of had a compound like the old-fashioned missions do. But even then, at that time, a number of their missionaries did not live in the compound. They lived out in the community. But I thought that it was very well run, and they were doing good work there. To do what they were doing, it does require, generous resources, mm-hmm. to support them and pay for, running a hospital and so forth.
Okay, and you mentioned missionaries being a large part. Has that been the case at Topeka Bible Church since you got there? Have you seen that grow?
Oh, yes. There's certainly quite a few more being supported, partially supported by the church than there were.
Okay.
The numbers have grown. I couldn't give you the numbers that we had, but yes, it's grown quite a bit.
Okay. You mentioned that you've been at TBC the entire time. You've been in Topeka. Did leaving ever come into the picture at all? Did you ever think about leaving?
No.
Okay.
No, but we were aware of some others that left,
mm-hmm.
and then came back. So, now I'm sure there were some that left and didn't come back. But I noticed the ones that came back after having gone for a while. But no, that was never entered our mind.
Okay. Do you have any memories that sort of stand out as some of the best moments that you remember being involved at TBC? Any anecdotes or anything? It's okay if you don't.
Well, we had a 50th anniversary a number of years ago.
Okay.
That proved to be over at the East Topeka. There's a conference grounds over there.
Okay.
I forget the Forest Park.
Okay.
Yeah, Forest Park. We had a 50th anniversary one summer there at Forest Park, and that proved to be lots of fun, and a lot of former members came to visit and mm-hmm. so forth. It was, and some missionaries even. That was very good. And then I imagine in recent years, Pastor Jim's trips to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone on a number of those.
Okay.
And also to Greece.
Okay.
And those have been very outstanding.
And what do those trips look like?
Well,
like sort of schedule.
Well, actually, the first one was conducted by Jim's father,
okay.
Roger Congdon,
mm-hmm.
and he took us on a trip that Pastor Jim probably would never take us on, because we visited five different countries in 2 weeks, something like that. We went to Egypt first, and visited the pyramids and the Cairo Museum, and then we went down to Karnak, the Valley of the Kings, and went into King Tut's tomb and all that. We sailed in a boat across the Nile River. It was a fabulous trip. And then we went to Jordan and Amman. We were in Amman for New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to Israel and toured Israel. And then we went to Damascus and Straight Street and... By the way, Damascus has the world's roughest runway for airplanes, and it was something. It's hard to believe commercial airlines will use it. And then we went to Rome and spent about 3 days there.
Wow.
Seeing the Vatican Museum and so forth, and that was a fabulous trip.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about Athens. We went there, too. Went to the Parthenon, and there's a big museum there too that we went through and we guided through.
Mm-hmm.
Went out of town to one of the old temple sites. So we saw a lot of stuff on that trip. Well, in Rome, of course, we went to St. Peter's, but the Vatican museums are really, wow. We only had a part of a day in there, but you could easily spend a couple of weeks there.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much to see, and it's so beautiful inside.
Yeah.
Have you been there?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it is real. Rome is really something to see. You know, the Titus's arch with the inside, the picture of the Roman soldiers hauling away the menorah, and the Oh, there was a box too they were carrying. Probably the not the, of course the ark wasn't it because the that was wasn't in the temple in Jerusalem at that time. But, they had a little incense altar box.
Mm-hmm.
They all, and two trumpets are pictured in there that were taken out of the temple. So so that was a fabulous trip, but. Pastor Jim's trips tend to be centered more on just Israel itself.
Okay.
And so we spend more time there in Israel, seeing more things,
mm-hmm.
and that's very good too. Certainly, and then here a year or two ago we went to Greece to kind of follow Apostle Paul's footsteps in Greece.
Gotcha.
See what things look like. That was a very good trip. Also included a inter-island cruise for several days. Got to visit Patmos and Crete and also Ephesus in Turkey. So that was very good. We only spent a couple of hours in Ephesus, whereas you could easily spend all day there. So next time I go, we'll have to make sure we spend all day there. But there's a lot to see in Ephesus. So that those would be the highlights that come off the top of my head.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah. I guess, is there anything else you'd like to share while we finish this up?
Is it an hour already?
Well, no, you're good on time. We're good.
Oh, okay.
This is perfect.
I just can't think of anything just offhand. It's been interesting to see how Pastor Jim's style of preaching has changed over the years.
He
still preaches out of the Bible, but he's much more topical now than he used to be. And his notes are much, the sermon notes he hands out each week are pretty brief now compared to what they used to be.
Yeah.
Used to be single pay typed, single spaced, cover a full page, like through the Roman series particularly, one series of messages that was outstanding was his Route 66 series, where he preached on a different book of the Bible each week, and that was an outstanding one. We still listen to those occasionally. Because we bought the tapes, and find that those are still good to listen to. Things like that don't really go out of date very much.
How has technology changed over the years?
Well, that's changed quite a bit.
Yeah.
It used to be just had a mic for the deaf.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have little earphones in some of the pews so deaf people could hold it up and hear the preacher.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, that's changed a whole lot. And so that now the video is used quite a bit, and the sermons are recorded video-wise and also put on the Internet. And Pastor Jim uses a PowerPoint virtually almost every week.
Yeah, which I'm sure contributed.
Which for many years, of course, we didn't have that. Pastor Jim's ability to preach without PowerPoint is very good. I mean, but admittedly, PowerPoint does help. It makes it easier for him in some ways, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But it is nice to have that. And I think a lot of churches are using that now. Not all of them, but I think a lot are,
because
you can illustrate a sermon so much better with the video and the PowerPoint.
Mm-hmm.
And also the music in the church has changed quite a bit over the years, particularly in recent years.
Yeah.
For many years it would be the piano and organ, and you'd have a choir up front with robes and so forth. That's kind of a thing of the past, almost. The organ is rarely used now, except it was last week, and the piano. But they call that the retro week.
Yep.
But normally there's a a band with a lot of guitars and so forth. My wife and I are like many of the older people. We actually prefer the older retro style than the newer style, but we seem to be able to adjust for the most part.
Yeah.
I suppose it's possible some people have left the church because of it, but yeah. I'm not aware that very many have.
Okay.
And I'm also aware that many churches have gone over to the newer contemporary music styles.
Mm-hmm.
And but the music isn't what brought us to TBC, although we appreciated it. There was a good music program at TBC when we came.
Mm-hmm.
to it in 68, and we appreciated that. But that isn't the reason we chose TBC, it's because of the preaching.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's great. I think we covered everything. I think we're good.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good.
This is great.
Yeah.